Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, you can hear our program live weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online. Our web address, of course, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Good morning. Welcome to a Friday morning. This is the Austin Hill in the Morning program. I'm honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Yes, we talk about things that are of importance to our personal lives, to our families, and also issues that are important to the well-being of our community, our country, and our world. We seek to understand all of these things through the lenses of our Christian faith. Coming up later this morning, just think about this. This won't be for, let's be well into the second hour of the program, the 7 o'clock hour. But think about this, if you will. We'll ponder this question here. This is kind of ponder us, I know, but the question is simply this. Have you given up on America? Now, if you're listening in one of our Canadian markets where we broadcast into, if you're listening in one of the Canadian provinces, please feel free to play along on this one. I would ask for candid, honest, thoughtful remarks on this from anybody within the reach of my voice, but especially if you are an American, have you given up on the country? There is so much going on in our world, and so many reasons that I see and hear Christians articulating why they're just kind of throwing up their hands and saying, my goodness, the country is just nuts, and there's nothing that can be done about it. And so we'll talk about that. I have some thoughts to say. In fact, I had a very interesting conversation not all that long ago with a Christian missionary couple, a couple that literally they're fleeing the United States. They have fled the United States to go live on another continent and to spend the rest of their lives, their retirement years, doing Christian evangelistic missionary work, overseas foreign missions, if you will. And they told me emphatically, we've given up on America, so they're gone. But I'll get into it later this morning. I don't know that it's so easy to just give up on the country. And you may feel and think that you've given up, but I'm not quite sure that that's always the case for people who say as much. Anyway, think about that. We'll talk about it later this morning here on the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Also, along the way, about half an hour from now, our great friend George Frazier, co-host of the Real Recovery program. George Frazier, who is a 12-step recovery program man himself. He is also an addictions counselor. He co-hosts what I think is a very important program about people struggling with addictions and getting out of those addictive behaviors through the 12 steps and through discovering Christ in the context of 12-step programs. George Frazier joins us in about half an hour from now. And also later this morning, our great friend Sam Rohr from the American Pastors Network. Sam Rohr convening meetings with Christian pastors all over the United States of America. And as a matter of fact, I think he's probably confronting that I've given up on America sort of mantra and mindset in some of the conferences that he's holding. But we'll talk with Sam Rohr about the American Pastors Network later this morning. So all of this and more just ahead. Now, I will remind you that we are just a few days, unless I'm reading the calendar wrong, a week from today it will be Good Friday, and we'll be rolling into Easter weekend. It is a season where we remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Christians around the world do this. And when we come back, I want to talk to a man who knows death, burial, and resurrection in some very personal ways. And you know his name, you know his story. If you've been listening to the Faith Radio Network for a long time, his name is Don Rupp. And I guess officially somewhere on some sheet of paper somewhere or in some internet database or whatever, he's described as retired. He no longer anchors the news on a daily basis here on the Faith Radio Network. But Don Rupp is a very busy guy. And he has a whole lot to say to men in particular, but also to moms, girlfriends, wives, women who care deeply about the men in their life. talk about the suffering deficit and death, burial, and resurrection in our own hearts and minds. Don Rupp joins me on the Don Rupp line coming up in just seconds. It's the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. Great to have you with us.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the morning.
6:09 Central Time from the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. It's Friday. Welcome to it. I am Austin Hill. Honored to be with you weekday morning, 6 till 8. As we indeed seek to connect faith, our Christian faith, to all areas of our lives and to the events of our times. On the what we officially designate as the Don Rupp line, we have this whole bank of phone lines coming into the studio, as you might imagine, but it's the Don Rupp line, and, well, it's our former morning news anchor, a man who helped build the Faith Radio Network. Don Rupp joins us. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you, Austin. Great to be with you.
You are gearing up for Holy Week, as I understand it, as many of us are, and you have some thoughts on what you describe as the suffering gap for American Christians. What is the suffering gap as you see it?
Well, it's true. We think about the church calendar, and it's important. I think there are three events in the church calendar that are highlighted that we celebrate in a sense. Christ's coming, of course, the message of Emmanuel, God with us. That's the Christmas story. God is with us. And then there's Christ's earthly ministry in the cross, and that message is God is for us, and that's what I'd like to talk a little bit about. And then, of course, Christ's resurrection means the promise of his return for us, or if he does come and take us home, God will bring us home. You know, that's a three-point sermon. That's what happens when you're a preacher's kid. Somehow you listen to your dad so much you say, there's 3 points and we'll get to the end, maybe. But, you know, it is next week. My goodness, I looked at my calendar. I'm busy every night getting ready for Maundy Thursday and my involvement in our church and the celebration. And now I'm speaking for myself, but the events in my life in the past few years have reminded me that we love Easter celebration, and that's true, the resurrection of Christ. But I have been reminded in my life, I have lived the reality that you don't get to Easter Sunday without Good Friday and Saturday. And the biblical account reminds us Jesus lived in a real world just like we do. And so as I talk with men, as we talk, you know, it's all about reality, isn't it? It's the actual state of affairs in my life, the facts. And I really do think there's a gap in life, and let me define that as the difference between what we wish our life would have been and what we actually have experienced. Now, you know what it's like. There's a gap between expenses and income. We talk about the technology gap, the communications gap, the generation gap, and even in companies, you know, they start the year with the expected performance, and then maybe every quarter, halfway through, they actually put out the real performance. And you compare, and there's sometimes, if not always, a gap between what you expected and what happened. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and certainly you have experienced that in a very unique way with the very tragic, the very painful episodes of your life, your former wife, your first wife, having suffered greatly with a terminal illness and eventually dying. You've been through Good Friday. You existed in that long period that we might refer to as Saturday. There were great durations of time, and many Faith Radio listeners, Don, I think, were privileged and still counted a privilege to have walked through that those dark times in some ways with you. But you also have experienced the resurrection on the other side. Comment on that, if you would.
Yeah, well, that's the reality, I think, that we do deal with loss. And it's the difference between what we had anticipated, where we thought our life would be, and what has happened. And for many of us, that can be a chronic illness, a permanent injury, a change in employment or loss of employment or change of relationships. It's kind of the suffering part of our life, if you will. It's the gap. And I love what Stuart McAllister says. He's on the staff of Ravi Zacharias. He's on the Faith Radio Network. Stuart says, Christianity is not an escape system for us to avoid reality. I'll say that again. Christianity is not an escape system for us to avoid reality. But Christianity defines what reality is, and by God's grace, helps us navigate through it, that gap. How do we get through it? Number one, we recognize it. Number two, we have to deal with it. And that's the message of the Bible. Christ came, and Emmanuel means God with us. The Bible says He loves us and nothing will occur in our lives outside of His providential control. But we do know that every trial and struggle we suffer is a test of our confidence in God. The truth is, God has never forgotten us or left us. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you live in that gap and you are suffering or struggling, the question we usually ask right away is, where is God? It happened on 9/11. It happens when there's tragedy in our world. The first question people ask is, where is God? And the message of Christmas says, God is with us. That's where we start, right? That's where we start. And then we get to Easter week. And there's another question we ask when we're living in that gap. Does Jesus really care? Does God care? Does He know? And does He care? Pain and suffering in our life may make us feel unconnected. And the question we ask is, does God care? Well, God is for us. And what I am learning and have had to live with is God wants us to express our pain to Him. But He says, when you talk to me about your pain, face the cross. I love what Tim Keller says. He wrote The Reason for God. Looking at the cross doesn't give us the answer, but we know what the answer is not. It can't be that He doesn't love us. It can't be that He is indifferent or detached from our condition. God is for us. That's what the cross is. Jesus was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Surely He carried our sorrows. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. There is power in the message of the cross. So when I face pain, God wants me to talk to Him about my pain and suffering, but He says, face the cross when you do that.
Don Rupp, former news director here at the Faith Radio Network, a man who helped build what we call the Faith Radio Network today. Don, thanks for sharing from your journey. Thanks for joining us. Perhaps you'll join us again next week. We look forward to talking again very soon. Thoughts on suffering as we head into, the final days before Easter. It's now 17 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Good morning. It's now 20 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network, and I am Austin Hill, honored to have you with us weekday morning, 6 till 8, as we try to be informative and challenging, hopeful and helpful here at the start of your day. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, our great friend George Frazier from the Real Recovery Program, he joins us to talk about the 12 steps. We're slowly working our way through the 12 steps with George Frazier, and I have great reverence and love and appreciation for the 12 Steps and how it helps get people focused on very important scriptural truths, quite frankly. It's really a pathway to scriptural truth, Christian biblical truth. I'll talk with George coming up in about 15 minutes. Also, into the 7 o'clock hour, our great friend Sam Rohr from the American Pastors Network. And we'll get to your calls later this morning into the second hour on the topic, have you given up on America? I had an interesting crossing of paths, if you will, with a missionary couple, a retired married couple that's literally, they have fled the United States of America. They think the U.S. has just gone crazy, which is probably a lot of people internally. We are nodding our internal cranium saying, yes, the world has gone nuts and the United States is leading the way. But can you really just give up on the country? And have you? We'll take your calls on that coming up later this morning here on the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Little update from the world of police officer work and the civil unrest that has been erupting in different parts of the country. We talked about that earlier this month. I was very touched and, quite frankly, I was inspired by the outpouring of response that I got when we talked about supporting police officers earlier this month here on our program. You may have heard some of that. The outpouring that I received from spouses, husbands, wives, even parents of active duty law enforcement officers was quite tremendous indeed. And one of the things that I believe, and I know that there are some who just think I'm crazy, but I believe that as Christians, being a Christian, I mean, Don Rupp just said it. He quoted from a pastor who works with the Ravi Zacharias ministry, and the pastor, Mr. McAllister, I believe was the gentleman's name, but Don offered us a very profound quote. This pastor says, Christianity is not an escape from reality. No, it isn't. And inasmuch as a New Testament view of our lives calls us to be in the world, but not of the world necessarily. Well, I believe, and some Christians just vehemently disagree with me on this. Some people involved in Christian broadcasting think I'm wrong about this. But I believe we need to be engaged. We need to be informed. We need to care about the events of our communities and the world around us. And we need to be prayerful, but actively engaged in these things. And also, I think that we need to reframe the discussion in our culture. And with respect to the uprisings, the social upheaval, and the assault on police officers, the discussion is framed in a very limited fashion. The discussion is framed in such a way as to lead people to believe that any kind of altercations between police and civilians in cities across America involves white male police officers unduly infringing upon the rights and in some cases unnecessarily killing black people. And quite frankly, I think the situation would be, I guess, maybe easier to address if it was that one-dimensional. It is not. I just want to tell you that in the last 8 days, no less than four black male police officers have been killed in the streets of America's cities. I'm reading here a story that comes from the Atlanta, Georgia area. Let me read you just a little bit of this. Police Detective Terrence Avery Green was killed, shot in the head by a suspect. According to WXAI-TV in Atlanta, quote, police responded to shots fired early Wednesday morning. This was earlier this month. They were told the suspect was possibly intoxicated. Neighbors said the man was going from house to house, banging on doors and firing a long barrel shotgun. Well, into that environment, Detective Terrence Green was called to duty, and he responded, as his job compels him to do. After the fact, law enforcement officers there in Fulton County in the Atlanta, Georgia area, they described the situation as an ambush, saying that Mr. Green was just trying to do his job. He was trying to protect the neighborhood from somebody who was shooting. He had no other option but to go into the dangerous area and do his job. He was ambushed after the service call, after he made the call in that neighborhood. He was ambushed by this, what they believe is the same suspect who was shooting randomly in the neighborhood. He was ambushed at a store. Mr. Green was a 22-year veteran of the police department there in the Atlanta, Georgia area. What was he doing in his store? He was stopping on his way home after wasn't even active duty when this happened, stopping on his way home from his job. picking up a toy. People believe that it was intended to be a birthday gift for his son, his young son who is celebrating a birthday the next day. Mr. Green leaves behind his parents and four little boys. He was a single dad. This is an African-American man serving his community as a police officer and a single dad raising boys, killed senselessly by an ambush. That's why I raised the issue of respecting police officers. We cannot just succumb to this narrative. It's nothing more than a storyline in many ways that gets perpetuated by dominant media and the arts and entertainment industry and maybe by secular academia that says this is all about the oppression of white male police officers. Go ahead and kill them. They're just white guys. That's the mindset. Four black male police officers killed for no other reason than they are police officers in the streets of America. We need to be prayerful. We need to care. Yes, indeed, we do need to show respect and support for the law enforcement officers in our areas. The church has a role to play in that. 27 past the hour, it's the Austin Hill in the Morning program from Faith Radio. Good morning, it's 28 past the hour, and I'm Austin Hill, here weekday mornings 6 till 8 Central Time on the Faith Radio Network. Weekdays at 12 noon Central Time. It's the Connecting Faith program. Yesterday, host Neil Stavem spoke with author Stephen Bauman about his book, Possible, A Blueprint for Changing How We Change the World. Here's part of that discussion.
What I often ask people is, I ask them questions about where they are now. Who are your friends? What kind of friends are talking to you about suffering in the world or suffering in the neighborhood? I talk about their experience. Where have you been? What have you studied? Oh, you studied, you know, nursing, or you've studied graphic arts. Oh, you love social media. You're on Facebook. Oh, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, here's a thing. You can follow, you know, all sorts of people who are working on specific issues, whether it's, you know, finding solutions to water or overcoming trafficking. You can go to websites and find people. So it becomes a network of it becomes a conversation around people you already know or people that you should know. So the first place to start is, you know, what am I passionate about? Or what shocks me? What makes me lament? There's a section in the book about writing our own laments. What makes us grieve when we think about the world? And we often as Americans kind of want to steer clear of that. It doesn't feel good. But often in the place where we're grieving or we're shocked is actually where God's speaking to us. And to take that shock or that surprise or that grief and write it down and say, God, I'm willing to help in this area, and I believe that you're a God big enough to fix these problems. It's all throughout the Bible. It's the story of our faith. So the place of lament and grief is a great place to start. Then start asking the questions, who do I know? What am I passionate about? What can I bring to the table? And not ruling out anybody, from the artist, the musician, the mom, the architect, straight through to the writer, the creator, creative type people. So that's what the book is about, is to start where you are and to go through a process of asking some hard questions and let God surprise you as to where he will take you.
Rachel in Mapleton asks, if I want to learn how to help where there's a need for food, water, etc., besides monetary, what would be some suggestions?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'd say first, Rachel, start with the things that you already have. Who are you? What's your skill set? What's your passion? Where have you studied? And then ask this question, what's happening right there in your local town? You know, is there a food bank or a food kitchen? Are there people helping out with the homeless issue in your hometown? That's a great way to start. And the third thing I would say is to start thinking about organizations like World Belief. You can go to our website. You can find out parts of the world where we're struggling with food or water. And just start reading and then sign up for Twitter feeds if you're into social media, or go to a Facebook page. And start becoming the recipient of the conversation. And then you'll find yourself joining into the conversation. So there's so much out there. The best place is just to start. Start Googling, start following a couple of people on Twitter or Facebook, and you'll be surprised, you know, how much there is.
That was Neil Stavem interviewing author Stephen Bauman on yesterday's episode of the Connecting Faith program. Coming up on today's episode, host Joe Rathmanner steps in. She'll interview author Melinda Means talking about mothering from scratch. That's Connecting Faith, 12 noon Central Time on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. It's 6:32. I'm Austin Hill. SRN News on the way next. It's 36 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to, and I am Austin Hill. Honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Coming up later this morning, our great friend Sam Rohr, who heads up the American Pastors Network. He's convening meetings with Christian church pastors around the country, talking about some of the big issues of our time, issues that confront our culture, our country, and our world. And just from the get-go, engaging a discussion about the important issues of this this era that God has allowed you and I to live in. And then from there, talking about what does it mean to be a conscientious Christian at a time such as this. So we'll talk with American Pastors Network President Sam Rohr coming up into the 7 o'clock hour. Also, I will pose a question to you and ask you to jump in, and we'll get the conversation going at about 7:35 this morning, a little less than an hour from now, talking about whether or not you've given up on America. I had an interesting encounter not long ago with a Christian missionary couple who quite literally have fled the United States of America. They've lived in this country all their lives, just like I have, perhaps like you as well. And they just said, we're done with this place. We're out of here. This place is crazy. We're spending the rest of our lives doing evangelistic work on the continent of Asia. Are you done with America? We'll have that conversation later this morning here on the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Let's talk about the 12 steps for just a moment. I love having George Frazier and from time to time his co-host Bill Arnold on our program. Those two gentlemen co-host a radio talk show simply called Real Recovery. You hear it on both Saturdays and Sundays here on the Faith Radio Network and most of our radio affiliates. The 12 steps, such a useful tool in my estimation to guide us and direct us towards the biblical truth about the human condition and our interpersonal lives as well. George Frazier, a professional addictions counselor, among other things. He joins us on our guest line. Good morning, George. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Austin. Good to be on your program.
Always a pleasure. We are in some strange kind of radio way working the program, so to speak. At least we're working our way through the 12 steps, and we've talked systematically over the last several weeks about steps 1 and 2. I believe we're on step 3 now.
We're on step 3, and step 3 is we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand Him. There's a couple things that we want to point out. If we go through the steps 1, 2, 3, I can't do this, he can do this, I'm going to let him do it. We start getting into some action here. We get out of our head and into the game. We don't read these things off a wall. We actually walk them out. And there's a prayer called the third step prayer that we talk about giving our will to God and having him remove from us our selfishness. Where can we better do your will? And we hear a lot of thing about prayer. I heard a great program on Susie Larson's this week. I think Bill Arnold was guest hosting, talking about audacious big prayers. And I agree with that, but I need to start with, God, what do you want me to do for you? Not what you can do for me. And step 3, which is really cool, Austin, is if I want Jesus to be my Savior, which I do, he needs to be Lord over all areas of my life, not just my drinking, drugging, all areas. That's a tall order.
It is a tall order and quite a challenge indeed. There are those, George Frazier, who liken step 3 of the 12 steps to, I guess, some of the more profound writings of the Apostle Paul, and it's difficult for me to think of anything that the Apostle Paul wrote that was not profound, but he did have some rather extraordinary things to say about the utter hopelessness of the human condition when we are left all unto ourselves. And had some amazing things to say in the epistles that he wrote about, you know, he tries to do the right thing, but time and again he does the wrong thing, and he can't force himself to do the right thing at all times, and those kinds of things. And in his weakness, God's strength is made perfect. I mean, these are big, broad ideas that's come largely from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Some people look to step three and say, wow, that number three there, we having decided in step one and two, our lives are unmanageable, we're just out of control, we can't fix ourselves. Step three is where we resign ourselves to God's authority and say, I can't do it, but you can. Is there a correlation in your view with this New Testament's Pauline type of vision of the person and the 12 steps and step three?
Oh, absolutely. We're talking a little bit about Romans 7 here, that I don't do what I want to do, and that which I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Absolutely. And what we're realizing is, I'm broken. I need somebody to fix me. It comes from God that I realize I'm broken. One of the really cool things about the third step prayer for me is that there's no amen after the prayer. The amen comes after the seventh step prayer. And what that means for us, Austin, is we are going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that when we say this prayer, it's not a one and done, hocus pocus. Now we do the work in 4, 5, 6, and 7, where we confess our sins and we work on our defects of character and we turn everything over to God. And this is about God, not about us trying to make ourselves feel good. Yeah, it's a great correlation between Paul's writings. What the program really is for people like me that are mentally challenged, I think I'm a lot smarter than I am. It breaks it down to one foot in front of the other. Are you being obedient to Christ? That's what it is.
George Frazier, he is a professionally trained addictions counselor, among other things. He co-hosts the Real Recovery radio talk show that airs on most of the affiliates of the Faith Radio Network. And most of the stations that are broadcasting this program right now, you hear it on Saturdays and Sundays from Faith Radio. You can find he and his co-host and their audio archives at myfaithradio.com. You know, you said something very important that I know gets bantered around, this phrase, defects of character. It gets used very openly in 12 steps groups, and Alcoholics Anonymous address the defects of character a lot. In my experience, and I've experienced life within 12-step groups, and I've seen people, the way they react to 12-step groups when they're sort of outside the fold, so to speak. When you tell somebody, let's go to a 12-step meeting, we talk about our addictions and our problems. Those who don't believe they have any addictions, they might say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. But then when you enter into the subject of defects of character, well, that seems to me to be very broad, and that's something we can all relate to. Is that part of the message of the 12-step movement, would you say, George Frazier, that we all need to be cognizant of our defects of character?
Well, I was listening to Susie Larson's show yesterday, and she had a tape show of somebody who wrote a book, 12 Steps for Pharisees.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it tied in. Yeah, it ties in with everything. Well, I think the 12 steps
pretty much
tie in.
Yes.
Is that, you know, all that is numbered to Scripture. And do we all fall short, character defects? Yeah, I think the Calvinists would say it's the total depravity, okay? And we are broken. But in acknowledging that and my need for Christ, that's the true wisdom. And I think that comes from God, Austin. How does a dead man know he's dead? He doesn't. But now we have a program we can work. And it's okay. We are broken and we are sinful, but we are so loved. And God has a big plan for us. The other thing about step three is he doesn't save us and help us to get sober if he doesn't have a job for us. And he has a job for everyone. It's great news.
It is good news indeed. Real Recovery is the program co-hosted by George Frazier and Bill Arnold. You'll find them both on Saturday afternoons and Sunday evenings. Just get over to myfaithradio.com. And get the specifics, get the schedule, and give a listen to their audio. You can listen to it on demand and download it as well. George, thanks again for being with us. Love what you do. I hope you have a very safe and a pleasant weekend. We'll look forward to hearing you this weekend.
Back at you, Austin. Thanks.
Thanks so much. It's 46 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Great to have you listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's now 48 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. And I am Austin Hill. Honored to have you with us. I'm here weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time, as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Sam Rohr from the American Pastors Network, who's traveling the country, meeting with Christian church pastors all over our nation, engaging discussions about some of the big issues of our time. We'll join him, he'll join us, I should say, here in the next hour, and we'll talk just a little bit about what those big issues are and how we can all participate in the broad discussion. How does the church respond to the issues that are before us? We'll have that conversation with Sam Rohr coming up. Also, into the next hour, and we're not taking calls right at the moment, but I just want to sort of lay this before you, so to speak. I'm posing this question, and the question is simply this: have you given up on America? I had this striking conversation, and this is some time ago, actually. It was an epiphany moment for me. This happened just a little more than 2 years ago. It was February of 2013. And I remember it as though it happened, you know, last week. And it really did shape my thinking on a whole bunch of things. But I had this encounter with a married couple who are into their 60s. They are retirees. And they quite literally, if you were to ask them, they would say they have fled the country. And the way this came about is that a friend of mine in my hometown, a very dear friend of mine, Ryan is his name, he contacted me. This was, again, in early 2013. And he said, I have these friends, and they're coming in from out of town, and I want you to meet them because they've got this really great, very exciting ministry that they're involved in. Now, I certainly recognize that at that moment, and you probably know what this is about as well. When customarily, typically, at least in our culture anyway, when Christians go to one another and say, I'd like you to get together with me so I can tell you about this ministry. I want you to meet this person over here who's involved in this ministry effort. That generally means, hey, I'd like you to consider becoming a financial partner with this ministry. I'd like you to financially support this. And there's nothing at all wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's something disingenuous about that. That's kind of the polite way that we embark on those discussions. And I have no problem with that at all. Well, this, my friend Ryan contacts me and says, you know, would you please meet this couple that are coming in from out of state? And I said, I'd be delighted to. And why don't we all go to lunch? I'll buy. Let's, you know, the four of us sit down and talk about this. Well, I get face to face with this couple. And I said, well, tell me, you know, after exchanging pleasantries and ordering food and whatnot, I said, tell me what you're doing, what's going on in your life, and what's this exciting ministry effort that you're involved in. And so the husband did most of the talking, but he explains that he is a retired federal worker. He retired earlier in 2012 from many, many years working at the United States Department of Commerce, which is kind of interesting. And the wife, his wife, was a retired public school teacher from a school district in the state of California. And so they had government retirement pensions. They worked for, you know, 25, 30 years or what have you in their respective jobs. They retired with a pension. And the husband says, we are done with America. We are moving to the continent of Asia. They're living in a very small country in the continent of Asia, and I won't go into specifics there. He says, we're moving to Asia. We're spending the rest of our lives doing Christian evangelistic work. We will die on the continent of Asia. We are never coming back here. Maybe on occasion we'll make a quick trip to see our grandkids, but if we're going to see our grandkids, the kids will need to be brought to us. We are spending the rest of our lives, and we will end our earthly lives on the continent of Asia. And I said, well, my goodness, this does sound like you're done with America. Why are you fleeing the country in this sort of fashion? And mind you, this was early 2013, just literally, you know, a couple, 3 months or so after the presidential election of 2012. And this man says, our nation has turned its back on God. We have twice elected the most pro-abortion, most anti-Israel president of our lifetimes, which I think arguably is probably true about President Obama. And he said, we have abandoned all sense of Christian morality. We've rejected the biblical understanding of marriage and human sexuality. Our country is just wrong, wrong, wrong. We are done with America. The country is just going down the tubes, the husband said. And he said, we're getting out while we can, and that we're done. Now, what was kind of interesting about this is, and I know this man didn't mean it this way, and I want to say this very, very sensitively, but here he was spouting off to me across the table in a restaurant saying the country is going down the tubes, but at the same time he was sort of by implication saying, but we're sure glad you're staying here and making a living and earning a paycheck. Would you please fund our ministry and write us a check every month? So there's kind of a mixed message there, if you know what I'm saying. But I also asked him, I said, well, listen, if the United States of America goes down the tubes, what happens to your retirement pension? And he said, well, but listen, they have to pay us our retirement pension. We're, you know, we retired from government agencies and a school district and whatnot. And that's, you know, that's not going to change. We don't need to raise a lot of money for our ministry because we have this retirement pension money coming in. And I said, well, if the country is just headed for collapse, why necessarily do you think that your retirement check is going to come in the mail? That could be compromised. And the point is that what I'm getting at here is this couple, and I wish them nothing but the best, and I actually have given them some financial support a little bit for their ministry on the continent of Asia. But the point is, they weren't nearly as done with America as they said they were. They were still expecting that the country would hold together and at least the government would still write their retirement check. Think about that for a moment. We'll talk more into the 7 o'clock hour. Are you done with America? And if you think that way, if you feel that way, what does that mean anyway? We'll talk more about it coming up. It's the Austin Hill in the Morning program. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's now 54 past the hour.
Radio companionship that's good for the soul.
Been a longtime lover and supporter of it. It just seems that no matter what I'm going through at the time I'm going through it, I can turn it on and God has something for me at that exact time. It's always whatever I need at the moment. So I just really appreciate it so much. Just give it a try. Give it a try. With the alternatives out there, give it a try. You might really appreciate it.
Highlighting real hope every day. Faith Radio.
God does absolutely amazing things, sometimes when we're least expecting it. Maybe he's used a message heard on Faith Radio to impact you, to get your attention, or to point you down the right path.
I'm just so blessed by all your speakers. Their words are sometimes, I think, spoken just for me.
You can share your Faith Radio story and encourage someone today that God is at work when you leave your message on our Faith Line. The number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH.
It's 55 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill, here weekday mornings 6 till 8, weekday afternoons 3 till 5 p.m. on the Faith Radio Network. You hear Susie Larson's broadcast, Live the Promise, and here's just a little snippet of what we heard yesterday on her program.
I got to say, and I don't want to embarrass you, but it takes an incredible amount of humility to put a sign around your neck that says free hugs. I'm sorry. I can't
more
get over
stupidity. Yeah.
I mean, really and truly, I mean, you are a pastor of a huge church, but I absolutely love how you've kind of almost stepped away from that to say, I'm a Christ follower first, and I'm going to go to be with people that the church would otherwise miss. I want you to say what that's been like for you to wear this sign, and what, I'm sure you've been rejected at times, but talk about what that's been like and how the response you received.
Sure. The idea of trying to convince a, you know, group of people to buy into the mission of loving individuals and you're not yourself loving individuals is next to impossible. You have to live out what you're asking other people to do. And I'm in ministry because I absolutely love people. And this is a people enterprise. Jesus died for us. And so when my dad died, an interesting dynamic took place at the end of the funeral. People let their guard down and boundaries that normally exist were gone, and people were hugging one another. And the simple display of affection had left an indelible mark on my heart. I got in the car and was driving back home and told my wife, I want to hug people. I want to let people know in our city that there's someone who sees them and someone who cares. And I'm not even going to tell them I'm a pastor. And so, you know, about 10 years ago, that's when the free hugs thing started. And just picked a corner downtown, and people would walk up, and, you know, one of the first guys that walked across the street said, oh, I thought it said free hogs. And, you know, I was like, only in Kentucky would think we're giving away free farm animals. But, you know, then there was a courthouse across the street, and the judge as he was sentencing people for drug-related crimes, he would send them across the street, and as part of their punishment, they had to hug me. And I'm getting all kinds of side hugs and, you know, just awkward stuff for people that did not want to be there, but a judge had made them come across. But there were other people along the way who were going through terrible divorces, in the midst of bankruptcy or just lost their job. And they would just start talking to me. I didn't ask them any questions, and their story would come out, and it just gave me a chance to say, hey, I've been through some difficult seasons in my life as well, and that's one of the reasons I'm standing out here.
That's author John Weiss, a guest on Susie Larson's program Live the Promise yesterday. Coming up on today's episode, Susie speaks with counselor Dr. Glenn Pickering, talking about God-honoring relationships. 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, SRN News next.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Hey, welcome to it. Friday morning underway from the Austin Hill in the Morning program. And I'm honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Take down our number. We will take your calls coming up a little bit later this hour. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Coming up in moments, our great friend Sam Rohr from the American Pastors Network. He is a very interesting guy. This nonprofit group that he heads up has him traveling all over the country, meeting with Christian church pastors, simply engaging in discussions from the get-go on some of the big issues of our time. How do Christians respond to increased pluralism in our Western society, in America in particular? How do we respond to proliferation of terrorism? How do we respond to upheaval in other parts of the world? Do we even care about this, and should we care? Sam Rohr is the guy who engages those discussions and holding conferences around the country. We'll find out how we can be a part of that conversation, even if we don't attend a conference. We'll hear from Sam Rohr coming up in just moments. Also, we've got Breakpoint with Derek Metaxas and John Stone Street on the way just about 20 minutes from now, and in about half an hour we'll go to the phones and take your calls. Have you just given up on America? I've been encountering this with, I guess, increased regularity, people who are just saying, you know, the country has gone crazy and I don't know who to trust. I don't know what to believe. The problems in our nation are just so overwhelming. It just doesn't seem like we're ever going to get out of this. In fact, I had somebody tell me yesterday in a private conversation, a gentleman who is extensively involved in ministry in his church, and he owns a business, and he's just a very productive, active, engaged person in our world. But he said to me yesterday, he said, Austin, I have always had a pretty good sense of what I believed and what I thought needed to happen, what I thought needed to change, what we needed more of, what we needed less of in the United States of America. And I feel like I'm rooted and grounded in my Christian faith. But for the first time in my life, he said, I'm 60 years old. For the first time in my life, I reached this point where I look at what's going on in the world, and I read, you know, thoroughly major news publications every day. And he said, I know what's going on in the world. And for the first time in my life, I look at this whole mess and say, I have no idea what needs to happen next, but whatever is to come next, it doesn't look good. And I think there's probably a lot of people that are panicked and feeling very fearful in that regard. But have you given up on America? We'll get your calls in response to that question coming up in just about half an hour. When we return, take a quick break, and our great friend Sam Rohr from the American Pastors Network, he will weigh in on the good work of his organization and what is happening with pastors in increasing numbers in states all across our country, getting together, talking about some of the big issues of our life and times, and trying to figure out what is the appropriate Christian response to them. We'll talk with Sam Rohr next. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
It's 9 minutes past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. And I'm Austin Hill here weekday morning, 6 till 8. Glad to have you with us on the Faith Radio Network. If there was a local chapter in your community of the nonprofit group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, how would you embrace that? Have you ever sat down and spoken with somebody from the Freedom From Religion Foundation? And can we embrace the Freedom From Religion Foundation with an open mind, thinking that we can all get along and have a seat at the table, and we won't infringe on their liberties, they won't infringe upon ours? Are those correct assumptions? Sam Rohr heads up the American Pastors Network. As I said earlier, he's convening conferences and gatherings of Christian church pastors from around the country talking about this and other big issues of our time, some of the challenges that the church faces as our culture goes through major, major shifts and major changes. We welcome him back to our program. Sam Rohr, good to talk to you.
Austin, it's great to be back with you, as always.
You've got some experience with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, I know. What do you make of this?
Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, I'm looking at an article that was just written about us from People for the American Way, the organization out there, even the ACLU and Times, the Americans for United for Separation of Church and State. These different front entities that are there are legally challenging, or trying to challenge in law, let's put it that way, any vestige, anything that remains within our culture that reflects our founding, or any connection to a Judeo worldview, trying to purge, and they've been pretty effective. If you go back and you think about it, I mean, the Ten Commandments out of schools, the prayer out of schools, the number of crosses, for instance, that entities have had on their lawn or as a part of it, which is happening up here now in Pennsylvania, we can talk about. But they challenge, these groups challenge anything that has anything to do with God or morality or the Bible or Jesus Christ, the very fundamental underpinnings of who and what we are. And they have had far too much sway in our culture, right? And I think we found that there are far too many people, many pastors included in the pulpit, who are afraid of their belligerent ways. In some cases they have been successful, but in many cases increasingly they are not being successful, but they can intimidate. We as God's people and the Christian people just need to understand that what these things are, what these entities are attempts to root out the last foundational concepts that hold us to our linkages to our biblical underpinnings, which were there at the founding of our nation, and if fully eradicated, will guarantee God's judgment on us in an increasing way, will not endear God to this nation. So we are in a fight. It's an ideological fight between right and wrong, good and bad. It's from the beginning of time. In our time, it tends to be reflected by the efforts of a lot of these types of groups, and they're very active, unfortunately.
They are indeed. Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. When you speak to a pastor who, say, maybe lives in a community where one of these nonprofit groups, like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they perhaps in the local community are filing a lawsuit against the city government or the county or the state or what have you to have a cross removed from public property. And one of these kinds of things that we've seen proliferate over and over again over the last couple of decades or so, when you talk to a pastor in a local community where that's going on, are pastors even trying to engage in the discussion about that, or are they in most cases uncertain what to do and recognizing that you almost have to be a lawyer to get involved in those kinds of things, and are they just staying out of it? What's the common stance that you see?
I think that's a great, great question, because I think it runs the gamut somewhat. By and large, pastors do not see, in a general sense, they do not see that it falls within their purview or their requirements or duties as a minister of God in the pulpit, a preacher of God. They don't really perceive that it, in most cases, that that is something that they should take up the charge against. We are finding and found that, you know, many, and I'd say, well, I'll put it in that category, most pastors would view that their area of influence exists within the walls of their church. and extends beyond the walls of their church, only to the extent that it perhaps has involved the taking of the gospel as missionaries around the world. But they don't view the application of biblical truth and the preaching of God's word in application to the issues that are alive and vibrant outside the walls of the church. They're not there yet. That's part of the reason why we're doing the conference that we're doing, to try and connect these things together so pastors understand that that God's word applies to all issues of life. George Barna just recently did a survey and found 92% of pastors in the pulpit believe and attest to the fact that they believe that that God's word, the Bible, speaks to all issues of life, all issues of life, inside the church, outside the church. However, when asked how many of you are actually preaching and applying God's word and commands and principles to the issues outside the walls of the church, it dropped to 7%.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the problem. And that's why many are not engaging, but those who do understand are rising up. And that's why we as a pastor's network have been trying to do that, and we, in this case here in Pennsylvania, there's one going on now by this group and challenging a local county to take the cross off of their local seal, which has been in effect for just about 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood as a group of pastors and said, this is in fact something that should be called attention to. We sent out a press release. I did interviews. The people in the area just responded overwhelmingly and said, thank you for bringing it to our attention. We didn't even know it. This is something that the pastors need to stand up and speak about. And fortunately, in this case, I'll just say here, the county commissioners just 2 days ago voted overwhelmingly 9-0 that they would not yield to the pressure of this group. So it does have an effect.
Indeed it does. Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network on our guest line. Sam, stand by. We'll continue in a moment. We're talking about Sam, talking about some of the big issues of our time and engaging Christian church pastors in those discussions. He actually heads up a series of what are called the U-Turn conferences. We'll talk more with Sam Rohr in just a moment. 16 past the hour, it's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. It's now 18 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. Great to be with you weekday mornings, 6 till 8 Central Time. Sam Rohr is a man who heads up the American Pastors Network. He is a leader in his church. He has been a business owner. He's been a lawmaker, actually. He was an elected official for a number of years, serving in his home state of Pennsylvania. He now runs this nonprofit group called the American Pastors Network, convening U-Turn conferences around the country, engaging church pastors in the conversations about the big issues of our time. Sam, I love the things that you say and do. I love asking questions and listening to your responses. And you make it easy. I agree with you so much on so many things. I also recognize, and I want to say this respectfully, that there are a good many Christians, pastors and parishioners alike, who would probably maybe sit in a room and listen to what you have to say or listen to what I have to say, and they vehemently disagree that Christians should even be engaged in these issues of culture and public policy. You alluded earlier to the fact that Christians and pastors think in terms of cultural engagement being something that only happens in another part of the world. That's foreign missions kind of stuff. We don't need to engage our own culture here. There seems to be this assumption that the United States of America always has been hospitable to Christians and to the church, and it always will be, and will always be safe and relatively stable and secure. We don't have to worry about how our society is structured. We just need to go evangelize other societies. How do you get over that hurdle with Christians who say, Sam Rohr, this is crazy. You shouldn't be doing this.
Well, you know, one of the things I find on that, and answer the question directly, and that I believe is a very prevalent thought. At our U-Turn conference we had here in Pennsylvania, which was extraordinarily, I would say, biblically successful from the standpoint of pastors walking away, sending back comments, they're saying, for the first time, I got it. I understood now what it's all about. We laid out these things, and I believe in this one case, answering what you're talking about there, where the preaching of the gospel and the adherence to the Great Commission, which most pastors who have a Bible in their hand would say, this is what we're trying to do. In many cases, they may be doing a good job on that. Don't take the other part of it, is that the Great Commission really is a command to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe and do all that I have commanded you. That's what Christ said. All that I have commanded you is the whole counsel of God. It is the application of biblical truth and commandment across the spectrum of life, because we do not live in a one slice of life. We are Christians that are put where we are as ambassadors of Christ for all areas of life into which we go. The discipleship part is the part that really awoke pastors this last week to the concept of saying, wait a minute, yeah, we can measure evangelism, because like I said, I got 20 missionaries on the field, we're supporting 200 or that kind of thing, but am I measuring, or can I demonstrate measuring discipleship? And what does that look like? I mean, how much light are my people in my congregation exhibiting? How much salt are they having an impact on? And how do you know that? And am I even preaching that? And that is the distinction, I think, Austin, what you're talking about here. It's not just getting a person saved. It's discipling them to live and act, talk, walk, and in every way function and think like an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And that means across the spectrum of life, which means, of course, obviously the family. Obviously, it means personal conduct as an individual. Obviously, it means within the walls of the church, but it also, of necessity, means outside the walls of the church in the realm that we call civil government. If we take and deny that realm, we are isolating ourselves and say we must act as a Christian only within my settings of the walls of my home. That's not possible. Not God never established. So I think it's that distinction. Get them saved, clearly, but that's only the first step. Discipleship. Preaching the whole counsel of God, applying these biblical principles to life outside the walls of the church. That is everything about what being a Christian is, and that is what many pastors are confused about. But when they hear it in the right context, as many of these folks said this last week, for the first time, it's put it all together for me. My life, my ministry has been transformed. I don't know how many testimonies I've had from pastors this week, Austin, who said, my ministry has been transformed because of today, because I see these pieces put together.
Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network. He is convening a series of what are referred to as the U-turn conferences that are happening around the country. I know you just wrapped up one in your home state of Pennsylvania. There are more coming. Where do we find you online? What website do we go to get more info if we'd like about the U-turn conferences, Sam?
Now, there'll be two sites. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net is our home site. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And then we have a site called UTurnConference.org. Now, these two link together, and we will be putting on our U-turn conference site and our American Pastors Network site upcoming events when we are scheduled. There's none on there right now. We're putting things together now, and that's going to be laid out here in the balance of this year, but stay tuned. We will have them there.
Looking forward to it. Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network. Sam, thanks for jumping in again this morning. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for what you do, and travel safe. We'll look forward to speaking again very soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Austin. God bless you as well.
Good to be with you. 24 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Breakpoint's on the way in moments.
Now back to Austin Hill in the morning. Join the conversation by calling 877-933-2484.
That is indeed our number, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. My question for you, have you given up on America? I've mentioned this before, but oftentimes before I present topics and topical questions and such on our program, I'll sort of test them out with my friends. And I had another experience last night actually speaking with a friend, and I said, well, you know, what do you think of this question? Have you given up on America? And predictably, my friend said, oh, now how am I supposed to answer that? There's so many different directions you could go. Well, yes, indeed, that is the case. That's part of what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to get a thoughtful conversation going. You can answer that as you see fit. However you interpret that question, let me know your thoughts at 877-933-2484. I was prompted to approach this subject, giving up on America, giving up hope in America, based on a conversation I had yesterday morning, actually, with a gentleman who is actively involved in his community. He is actively involved in church ministry. He runs a non-profit parachurch ministry, a small one, but nonetheless he is actively engaged in operating a ministry organization. He also is a former business owner. He's an entrepreneur. He's done amazing things in his life. And he said to me, he said, Austin, I'm 60 years old, and for the first time in my life, I have no idea what the appropriate next step is for my country. I love my country. I love my Lord. I want the cause of the church to continue and to be productive and to be fruitful. I want the Great Commission fulfilled. And I want America to succeed and to thrive as well. But I have no idea what direction we're going and what the next best step is anymore. And it's the first time I've ever felt this way. I have given up on our country. I feel hopeless. Now, that was just yesterday, yesterday morning after the broadcast. I was talking with a gentleman about something completely different, and this issue of hopelessness with America came up. And I will tell you, I mentioned this last hour, but I'll just briefly recap this again. Back in early 2013, February of 2013, an epiphany moment for me occurred where I was introduced to a married couple, actually from the state of California. And they were traveling around the country, meeting with friends and friends of friends, and trying to put together financial support so they could go be foreign missionaries on the continent of Asia. And I was invited to meet with this married couple. They had recently retired from their jobs. He retired from a federal government agency with a pension. She was a retired public school teacher and had a pension. And they sat down with me. And they said, we don't need a lot of money to do our ministry efforts on the continent of Asia. We have pensions to retire to, so that's good. But we've sold our house. We're selling most of our material possessions. We are done with America, the husband told me. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, it means that we're moving to the continent of Asia and we're never coming back. We're not looking back. We're not coming back here. Maybe on occasion we'll come back and visit our grandkids. We will never live here again. We will die on the continent of Asia. And the husband, the gentleman in this couple, went on to explain to me that as far as he's concerned, America has turned its back on God. It is going, quote-unquote, down the tubes, as he said. There's no hope for the United States of America. And the best thing they could do with their time in their retirement years was go to try to evangelize the continent of Asia, take the Christian gospel to the continent of Asia, and try to fulfill the Great Commission all the way around the world before Christ returned. But America was hopeless, it's headed downhill, and there's no coming back. Now, the irony of this conversation, and I was respectful, and I heard the man out, and I ended up not becoming a long-term financial supporter. My wife and I wrote this couple a one-time gift, if you will, to their ministry, and I haven't talked with them since. I get email updates from them. I know they're living and working on the continent of Asia doing ministry work. But the irony here, and I know he didn't mean it this way, but the irony was that he was looking at me across the table in a restaurant saying, the country is headed down the tubes. At the same time, he's saying, but wow, I'm sure glad you're living here in the United States and working and being productive and making a living. Would you mind writing us a check every month? So I would just respectfully, and again, I'm saying this for illustrative purposes. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I respectfully challenge the degree to which they were really done with America. They were saying that the country is hopeless and they have no interest in it any longer, and yet they did have financial interest in the success of America. I did question this couple a little bit. I said, well, what happens if the country really does collapse in a financial crisis, let's say, and you don't get your retirement pension money? And the husband said, well, the government has to pay me my pension. I worked for this federal agency for 30 years and that's not going to happen. And I said, well, I don't know. If you say the country is headed down the tubes, those are pretty strong words. If you believe the country is headed for collapse, however you define collapse, who's to say that you necessarily get your money out of your own bank account or your money out of your retirement pension? My point is that as much as this man and his wife emphatically said, we're done with America, they really weren't. I would just ask you, do you know anybody who's really, truly done with America? And have you given up hope? Let's have that conversation. This does not have to be a hopeless discussion at all, but let's get honest about where things are at, shall we? 877-933-2484 is the number. It's 877-933-2484. Joseph is up next in Fargo, North Dakota. Joseph, welcome to the program, sir. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
In answer to what you were saying about America this morning, this message, this what I'm going to say is for the Christians. There is hope for America, but the Lord does want America to repent of things, the wickedness. If my people, but it starts with God's people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. God wants to heal America, but whether they turn and repent or not, the whole thing is, us Christians, we gotta, it starts there. It starts at home. So, I encourage the Christians this morning to pray and seek the face of God for America. Thank you so much.
All right, Joseph. I appreciate the call, sir. Thanks very much, and great to have you with us. 877-933-2484 is our number. 877-933-2484. Are you done with America, or do you know anybody who truly is? And what exactly does that mean, anyway? Let's go to Kaz up next in Minneapolis, listening to us on Faith 90.7 FM. Kaz, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Austin. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Are you ready to give up on America? Have you given up on America? What do you think?
Well, that's a perplexing question. There we go. Because there are folks in America through their behaviors and choices, I wish the best for them, but I'm afraid that there are lessons that are not being absorbed. We don't learn or remember history,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big problem. Do I give up on America? Have I given up on America? No. I think that the people eventually will remember what history and our forefathers have taught us, not only in the U.S., but, I mean, seriously, around the world. And eventually we will remember how to serve each other, and America will have a rebirth, if you will. I also fully expect it to get a lot crazier before it gets better.
Mm.
But
I concur
still
with that,
believe
by the way.
In the long run.
Yeah. Very. How do you react? What do you make of those in the Christian community who would say, you know, apart from a total transformation, whatever that looks like, whatever that entails, apart from divine intervention and a total transformation of our culture by God Himself, there's just no hope. I'm sure you've heard that before. I hear that frequently. That's a complex thing, and you can't encapsulate it all in just one broad statement like that. But I'm sure you've heard some of that. How do you react to it?
Well, sometimes God works through us. So we may not recognize God's handiwork as it's happening because it is subtle and beyond our perception. So folks that say it'll take a massive change all at once, well, maybe it will, but maybe that massive change all at once will build up over time through, well, ideally the Christian community, to make that change in our culture. People doing the right thing, teaching our children what is right, what is wrong about moral absolutes and our moral basis for making those decisions.
Very interesting. Kaz, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Great to have you listening on Faith 90.7 in the Twin Cities area. 877-933-2484 is our number. 877-933-2484. Have you given up on America? Are you done with America? Have you decided that our country is just beyond redemption, beyond hope? Tell me your thoughts on that. That is a prevalent thought, is a prevalent feeling. I've had it expressed to me by, on multiple occasions from very thoughtful people people of great Christian faith, people of very diligent ministry efforts, they're losing hope. How about you? 877-933-2484. This is the Austin Hill in the Morning program. It's the Faith Radio Network.
You think? Join the conversation at 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
It's 48 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network, and I am Austin Hill. 877-933-2484 is our number. Are you done with America? Whatever that means. I'm hearing this more and more frequently in candid moments of quiet conversation with very thoughtful people that I know. And so let's just get honest and put it on the table. Are you done with America? 877-933-2484. Frank is up next in Fridley, Minnesota. Frank, welcome to the program, sir. Hello.
Bless you, Austin. I have a word that's really a burden, you know, by the Lord for me to share with you and the rest of your audience. It's Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We may give up on people and on governments, but don't give up on the power of God and His Holy Spirit. And stop trusting in the power of money, but rather in Him. We cannot serve two masters.
Well stated, sir. Frank, thanks much for the call. Great to have you with us. 877-933-2484 is the number. I appreciate Frank's comment very much. Let me also clarify something, though. That is that when I say, have you given, when I ask the question, or if somebody is states it as a statesman, they offer a statement, I have given up on America. I don't necessarily believe, at least based on what I'm hearing from, as I said, thoughtful people that I have immense love and respect for, when I hear somebody say, I've given up on America, I don't know that that's, now I don't perceive that they mean that exclusively as they're giving up on the American government. I think Americans, we the people, are incredibly distrusting and have kind of given up on each other in many ways. I look at my country, and we have lost our way in a whole bunch of different directions. And I'd like to think that those of us who are part of the church itself, can be a support system, can be an entity within the culture that points the way, that offers grace, offers solutions to problems. Whatever lies ahead for the United States of America, I believe there's going to be a huge role. However good or bad that may be, I think there's going to be a huge role for Christians to play if we are willing and able and prepared to step up. That's kind of how I see it. But back to the phones, it's 877-933-2484. Steve is up next in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening to us on Faith 90.7 FM. Steve, welcome, sir. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, sir.
I believe that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go right ahead. Welcome.
Okay. I believe that, you know, if we leave it up to politics, even though politics may play a role in this, I don't think that that's the whole answer, that the church, like you said, really has to be involved. And by that meaning, we as individuals, as we are transformed by Christ, bring that transformation to our neighbors, to our communities. Those people who are transformed will be in politics, and we can execute that change through our transformation that God has given us, not because we have to vote a certain way, but because we live a certain way.
I believe it starts with living a certain way, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Is it a concern of yours from time to time that sometimes even well-intended Christians leave things for the government to take care of when we ourselves should get involved and take care of them ourselves?
Absolutely. And prayer. Prayer is the bottom line of all of that.
Right. Steve, I appreciate the call. Great to have you with us, and thanks so much for listening. Earl is up next in Sioux Falls. Earl, thanks for holding. You're on the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Hello. Hello, Earl.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Yeah, well, I thank you for taking my call, and this topic is really interesting to me, and I wanted to call in because last couple of years I've had this thought or this vision that history could repeat itself, and if America continues in the direction it's going and we don't get ourselves right with God, there just may be a group of people that get fed up, climb into a boat, go somewhere else, and start the whole thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like as time goes by, that's more and more becoming a viable possibility.
I think we see signs of similar things, things similar to that already starting to happen. I will tell you that I'm a native of California, one of the largest states in the country, and there has been since the time of my childhood talk about splitting California into two or more different states. But that talk is on the verge of becoming, well, it's getting closer and closer to reality. There are plenty of people who just want to maybe not get on a boat, but they want to pack up their vehicles and head to the desert or the mountains or whatever and declare a whole new territory, a whole new country in essence. And I think we've even seen that in a lot of the Canadian provinces as well over the years. I don't know, unlike the founding of the United States of America, I guess what I'm wondering is, where else does one go to? If you flee the North American continent and try to go establish a country somewhere across the pond, so to speak, where do you go? And I don't know the answer to that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't have the answer either, but the last time I checked, I think there's 70% of the world population is in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah.
There may be lots of places you can go south of the equator. I'm not sure, but I do know this. We will give up on America before God does.
That's well stated. Errol, listen, thanks much for the call, sir. Great to have you listening in the Sioux Falls area, and appreciate the call. Hope you'll call again. Listen, this is a very sobering topic. I get it. But it's a conversation that I believe we need to have in the context of the Christian community. Because I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of hopelessness in America right now. And in fact, I was talking with this gentleman who's involved in ministry quite extensively, and this was a part of our conversation. He encouraged me to share this on the program, and I'll just say it this way. I believe that one of the reasons we see such a visceral outpouring around the country for legalizing marijuana is because people want access to that substance legally, so they can just numb out and check out of their fears and their anxiety about the world around us. I really do believe that the anxiety is driving that in no small part. Back to the phones. Dale is on the line in Moorhead. Dale, thanks for holding. You're up next. It's the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Hello, sir.
Hi, good morning. Say, I had my thoughts, and then as I listened to the other callers, it kind of challenges my thoughts too. So,
that's what it's about. I'm glad to hear that, but
yeah,
say what you will,
yeah,
sir.
Say, have I given up on America? No. I think that I've probably given up on politicians, but I haven't given up on God. And I think it's more than the little view of history that we have right in our lifetime. I think we probably lose sight of all that's happened in history and how others saw things at their lifetime. There's a lot of good things about this country yet, and I think it's so important to be in touch with God and living for Him each day. So
I'm with you. Dale, thank you, sir. Great to have you with us. I know you were holding on the line for quite some time, and I appreciate you doing so and for participating in the conversation. I think these kinds of conversations are important to have. And I don't know that they go on so much in our churches, and maybe it's just difficult to engage these kinds of discussions in church. And certainly we can do things on a talk radio program that aren't going to happen in a church service, probably not even a Bible study group or what have you. But thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. And I hope you'll come on board as our supporter, by the way. We are headed towards our spring share events in less than 3 weeks from now. Come on board and join us at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. I will return, actually, to this radio station that you're listening to coming up tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, 1 p.m. for our program, which is full of solutions, called Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. where we talk about finding our way in a troublesome economy and finding work even without a job. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 and Monday morning at 6 here on the Faith Radio Network. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. For more information about this, you can visit Austin Hill in the Morning, our program page, on MyFaithRadio.com. That's MyFaithRadio.com.